Lynette.
Hello, John.
It's good to see you looking so well. It's really nice to see you and welcome to my little chat. This could be called Desert Island Discs, except we haven't got the music, or it could be called Andrew Marr Show, but we haven't got Andrew Marr. So I promise to be more gentle in what we talk about. So perhaps let's kick off. Tell us a bit about your home, where you came from and when you were a child. What was life like for you as a child?
Oh, nice question. I come from a lovely little village named Happy Hill in the parish of St. George and the island of Grenada in the Caribbean.
Lovely.
So I grew there as a child with my parents and my siblings, two brothers and three sisters.
You the youngest or middle or?
The third.
Third.
Okay. The third. And then I came to England as a young adult.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when you were in Grenada as a child, mm-hmm. Did you go to church? Did you what did you do? What did you do for fun?
Oh yes, church was the thing. Church has been part of my life as a child. I grew up in the Catholic Church. My parents are very devoted Catholics, so going to church was, we had to go to church, and it became, church life became everything. It was a time where we go and meet our friends and leisure. We're in the church choir and just being part of most of the activities for youth at the church. The church was our life.
Is it where it all happened?
Where it's all happened.
Where it all happened. Okay, yeah. good. And were you a good girl when you were a child, when you were young, well-behaved? I told you it would be forensic interviewing here.
We had no choice, you know. As I said, the church was quite a big part of our life, and then with our parents, you know, you just had to obey.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that in those early days, what was it? Was it the hymns or the Bible readings? What was it that kind of have lived with you all these years?
In the Catholic Church, it was, you know, they have those, as a child, I don't remember using the Bible that much in the church, except in, there were set lessons. Mm-hmm. So you'll have two readings for each service. Yeah. And in those days, if you were lucky to have a Bible for yourself, that, you know, that was good. But it was all sort of printed on bits of paper. Right. But we weren't encouraged as children to read the Bible as we do now. It was, everything was planned.
Okay.
Yes.
So what brought you to this country?
I came here to do nothing. Mm-hmm. Simple as that. Right. But I got the invitation. There was a working group came down to Grenada and they were looking for young adults to come to England to do nursing. And at that time, I was trying to get in to do nursing in Grenada. I had applied and I was just waiting for replies. And when that invitation came, I went, had the interview. I was accepted the very same day and more or less said that I will hear from a hospital in England.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not a short space of time. I heard from Kettering and General Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And there I was.
Okay, in Kettering.
Yes.
Okay.
In Northamptonshire. Yes.
I've learned. So I didn't know you were at Kettering. So,
yeah, that's
my opinion. When did this happen? When did you come over?
I came here at the end of 1971.
Okay. Yeah. So a couple of years ago now.
Yeah.
And what was life like for you when you first came over? Because we hear so many stories now of how hard it was for people coming from the Caribbean. How was it for you?
I must have said, I didn't observe or whether I was too naive to absorb any rough treatment. I think I felt loved and liked. And of course, it was a community of mainly white. I was probably myself and another girl from the Caribbean who was in a class with about 40 students. But I did not feel that I was being treated badly. But I was very lonely. Mm-hmm. Very lonely. I missed my family dearly. Mm-hmm. If I could have bought a plane ticket to go back, then I would have just gone back. That's how lonely I felt. But as time goes on, I made friends and trying to get to learn the way of life over here. I gradually settled.
The way of life and the temperature, I suspect, as well.
Definitely.
Was very different.
Yes.
So you were nursing in Kettering. For how long were you there for then?
I did my first 3 years there. So I was trained there as a adult nurse. So I spent 3 years training, and then I worked for about 2 years before I sort of moved on to London.
Okay. Oh, you moved to London. So I was going to say, I was trying to then now get my head around when you moved to London. So you moved to London, and was that because of a job, presumably?
Yes, at those time you either have to be training, doing some form of training, or you have a work permit. So I had another student, my student visa was extended, and I came down to London at the Royal National Orthopaedic Hospital in Stanmore.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Good. And I guess you've just been nursing in London ever since, really, till you retired.
Yes, I moved from one hospital to another, and then I eventually end up at Great Ormond Street. That's where I changed into pediatric nursing. Mm. I sort of done some training there, and after that, I met Michael Friday.
Oh yes, I wondered when he was going to come in. I was going to ask you about him. Yeah,
and yeah. So Michael either came in, then we got married, and then had our first child.
Right.
And then when I had my second child, then I decided I wanted to go back into nursing, but I did not want to go back to do adult nursing. Mm-hmm. So I continued with pediatric nursing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when did you move to Hounslow?
I moved to Hounslow in 1986.
Okay. Good, and set up home in Hounslow.
Set up home in Hounslow, yes.
Yes, that's where the kids grew up in Stanley Road. Yeah. Was it Stanley Road?
Yeah,
that's mm-hmm. right. I remember it right. Yeah, correctly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and got involved at some point at one church called Hounslow Methodist Church, I believe.
Yes.
What were your first impressions of what brought you in there? What drew you in?
Well, when we were looking for somewhere, a home to buy, a house to buy, I was also looking for a church. Mm-hmm. And I was looking for a Methodist church. And behold, I saw the sign leading to a Methodist church. Mm-hmm. So I sort of found the church before I found the house.
Okay. At the fair enough.
And it was a lovely bright, I could remember, a lovely bright autumn morning. Because we moved like in the October time. Mm-hmm. And I had my two little ones with me, and I walk into the church, and I could never forget that warm greeting I received, and I think is that what kept me there.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
well, as a church, we've always been told we're very friendly and very welcoming. Yeah. So it's nice to know that even all those years back you felt that warmth. And
oh my gosh, and and this person, really, she became my sort of my mentor at church, and guide me along. Mm-hmm. Could I call her name?
So yeah, go ahead.
Elsie Sands.
Yeah, the wonderful late Elsie. Yes,
And that time, yeah. Reverend Marion, yeah. she was on her honeymoon then.
Yes. Yeah. So yeah, so you settled into the church, and what, as you settled in, what did your faith do? Did it change over time, do you think, or did it stay as it was?
No, I mean, when I first came to church, it was just, I'll call myself a churchgoer. It was something part of my life. I attend the church every Sunday, and you know, and that's what I did. Mm-hmm. Until, I can't remember how long afterwards, I think it was when Reverend William came, and she first invited me onto the church council. And I thought, what is this all about? And then I went to LC to ask her what this is all about. And I think that's how I started growing into the church family, being what it's meant to be, a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, become much clearer to me. I was not just coming to church, but there was a purpose of coming to church. Yeah. And I was part of that church family. And that's how I started getting involved in certain different little roles.
That's lovely, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I remember you coming onto the church council. I'm that old. And I remember you getting involved in different things, in so many different things, and just being part of it all. Yeah. What about now? I mean, church is very different. We're all locked down. We're all we've kept going remarkably well, yeah. I think, given how locked down. But how do you feel? What do you see for the hope for the future for the church at Bell Road?
Well, yes, COVID has put a lot of thoughts and thinking in our mind, but I have to say, thank goodness that the church is still able to share God's words out there with the online service. We are still able to do a little bit of that mission, that's what a church is all about, isn't it? To spread God's word out there, yeah, to others. And we are still able to do that in spite of the lockdown. We're still able to do it with the online service. So, yes, I have to say I'm thankful for that.
And what are you most looking forward to do when lockdown's over? This doesn't have to be religious.
I am really looking forward is like to have that freedom again, mm-hmm, to that freedom to be able to go about, to meet with your family and your friends, to be able to go back to the church. It may, whatever the norm is going to be when after this lockdown, I am looking forward to this.
Well, that's good. I think we all are. Mm. We all are. I wonder what makes you angry about things? What makes you angry? Not Michael doing something wrong, because that would be unkind, but what generally makes you angry?
But for example, right now with the COVID vaccine, when those false news are being spread about, and when false news are being spread about, yes, that's sort of get me annoyed.
So when the truth's not spoken,
when the truth is not spoken, yes,
yeah, that's good. And what about, you said about the hope for the short-term future, what would you like to see for the church?
I would like to see whatever we have going, I want to see, let's build upon it, mm-hmm, build upon what we've got. And there's when now that we live listening, that time to listen during the lockdown, you listen to radio, you listen to other people's experience and all that, there has to be something that in the community we can be part of. Whether to support, to get involved with, to build upon, mm-hmm, the church life has to be partly in the community.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
I don't think there is the time. This is the time where we open our church door and we expect people to be flocking in. Yeah. I don't think this is going to happen if we as a church family do not work together to encourage that.
Mm-hmm. So working together.
We have to work together to encourage it.
Yeah, that's good. I think a lot of people will be pleased to hear you say that. I'm sure that will encourage people as well. Lyneth, you love your hymns and your music, and I know you're a regular at the Thursday Bible study. Is there a favourite hymn that you've got, or one that you can remember really speaks to you?
The one that really speaks to me, and the one that really dragged me into the Methodist Church, Trust and Obey.
Okay, for there's no other way to be happy.
There's no other way to be happy in Jesus.
We could just burst into song together, but I'm not sure that'll go well on Zoom. But yeah, no, okay. And yeah. Is there something in the Bible, a story, a passage, something that really is one that carries you through these times as much as any other time?
Oh, it's such a lot. But I like the, at this time, I spend a lot of time in going through the Psalms, because I just find whatever mood you are in, whatever you're feeling, there is always a psalm to lift you up. And the favorite one is Psalm 91.
Go on, you haven't got it in front of you by any chance, have you?
I have. I'll read from verse 2.
Okay.
I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust.
Wonderful, wonderful words. Okay. Think that might well lead nicely onto my last question. We're heading towards Easter. We're heading towards the joyful resurrection of Jesus. What does resurrection mean to you?
What could I say? Resurrection. Newness of life, isn't it? We come from the old and into the new, a new way of thinking, a new way of seeing God, a new way of spending time and reflecting on more of His words.
Mm-hmm. And that's what resurrection means to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Lyneth Friday, thank you very much.
Thank you, John.